Today, I'd like you to stand up as we read God's Word. We're going to be in Luke chapter 2, if you have your scriptures with you. And I really hope you begin to bring them and mark them up and underline them. That would be a great thing. But if you look in Mark chapter 2, verses 8 through 20, it says this. And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. And an angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Don't be afraid. I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born, and he is the Christ, the Lord. And this will be a sign to you. You will find the babe wrapped in clothes and lying in a manger." And suddenly a great company of the heavenly hosts appeared to them, and the angels began praising God, saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace to men on whom his favor rests." And when the angels had left and had gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let's eat breakfast before we go any farther." Not at all. "Let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about." So they hurried off and found Mary and Joseph and the baby that was lying in a manger. And when they had seen him, they spread the word concerning what they had been told about this child. And all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds had said. But Mary treasured these things and pondered them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen, which were just as it had been told. And then hear what Simeon has to say. "Sovereign Lord, as you have promised, you now can dismiss your servant in peace. For my eyes have seen salvation, which you have prepared in the sight of all people, a light of revelation for the Gentiles, for the glory of your people Israel." Let's pray. Father, for the next few moments, I ask that you would enable us to set aside everything that we've carried in. We're not going to worry about lunch or that Christmas dinner or the things that we forgot to wrap. We are simply going to be in your presence. Lord, Holy Spirit, would you come and search us and challenge us and change us and transform us? Father, I ask in the name of Christ that when we leave here today, we will be acting a whole lot more like the shepherds than when we walked in. And Father, I just ask that your favor and blessing would rest on all who are here and the families that they represent this day. And we thank you for what you're going to do in Jesus' name. Amen. Grab a seat. What an incredible announcement. I mean, it is just amazing to me that God would make a way that literally you and I can be good again. That's such an amazing thing. Most people wonder if God could ever accept them and love them, and this offer of salvation gives them that opportunity. We can be restored. Again, we don't think about that very much, but do you remember the garden? Adam and Eve were one with God. They had a relationship. They walked together in the evening. Do you realize that's what our salvation is meant to do, to restore us to be as Adam and Eve were? Just listen to the words given to the shepherds. Don't be afraid. How often when we think of God, we assume that fear should be our first response, and there is glory and honor and power and strength and awe. But fear, the angel says, don't be afraid. I bring you great news. I bring you great news of great joy, and it will be for all people. There is not one person, no matter where they were born or the culture they were raised in, rich or poor, on the right side of the tracks or with a silver spoon in your mouth. This news is for all people. A Savior has been born to you. He is Christ the Lord. How amazing is our Lord that he would choose to bring salvation to us through Jesus Christ. That is what we have come to celebrate this morning, that we have the opportunity and the offering of redemption. But I need to recognize that for a lot of us, you've walked through these doors and you may be at the place where you're thinking, what does this all mean? And yet I have firmly come to the place when we begin to understand and grab hold of this truth, it will literally change everything that we have been exposed to and everything we will ever be exposed to. It will literally change the directions of your lives. It will change the trajectory of where you're going if you will allow it. Don't be afraid. Just like the shepherds, we have a choice to make. I mean, oftentimes we're a people that don't like to sort of force that idea or remind ourselves that we need to make choices every single day as we're walking with God. But literally, these shepherds have a choice. It says, when the angels left them, what did they do? And I've thought about that because nowadays I think if we had that great announcement, I think some of us would think, hey, Frank, why don't you start the fire and let's have some breakfast before we go into Israel or into Jerusalem. Let's take care of that type of stuff first. Someone has to watch the sheep. I mean, we're shepherds. If we leave the sheep, they're going to wander around. That's going to mess up the rest of the day. I mean, every so often, in fact, it happened yesterday with our own goats. Todd and Jonathan were dropping some wood off, and Joyce said she was so embarrassed because when they got here, the goats were standing in our driveway. But they're nice goats, so they just sort of walked right back in. I mean, it's a cool thing. I forgot to lock them in. Or they could have thought, wait a minute, you know, this happened in the middle of the night. I was on night duty. I need to take a break. I need to sleep for just a little bit longer. Maybe they could have thought, you know what, this isn't for us. We're not really religious. We don't have an in on this religious stuff. Man, the last time I was at synagogue, everybody looked at me and then they smelled the sheep fragrance. I was so embarrassed. Maybe they thought, or they could have thought, you know what, that's just for city folks. It's for other people. I mean, do you ever think through the scriptures and why we're given them? They didn't respond that way, did they? They didn't have this passive awe and wonder and excitement. There was something that grabbed hold of their heart. They literally said, let's go and see the things that have happened, which the Lord had told them. And I love that the scripture says that they hurried off. They literally ran. This isn't one of those wandering about types of things. They were excited. They were thrilled. It was actually making their blood pump. Isn't that an amazing thing? The message is still the same. But let me just sort of remind you of some truth this morning. I want to remind you that the shepherds were regular people. They were ordinary folks. As one politician put it this week, a couple of weeks ago, these were the deplorables. They were. Check it out. Shepherds were not the highest quality of people. Shepherds oftentimes weren't allowed to testify in court because they were known for telling stories. But regular folks, the angels spoke to. They literally begin by reminding these shepherds and all of us here today that God is the highest. There is no one greater than Him in all of the universe and the universe that extends forever and ever and ever. He is the mighty God, the King of kings, the Lord of lords. And in the midst of those statements, there's this words, peace was available to men. Literally the opposite of what those shepherds, I'm sure, were expecting. If you look in the past, oftentimes when angels show up, trouble begins. But it's the very opposite. One of the things that struck me as I was studying this passage and thinking of this Christmas season, do you realize that our enemy Satan has done such an amazing job of defaming our God and Savior and King? If you don't believe that, go to this afternoon, look through your insurance policies, and you'll come across a little clause there that says what? An act of God. And what is an act of God? A tornado, a fire, a natural event. I mean, it's just amazing how often people, even within our own community and culture, think that God is the one who does the bad things. I've talked to people who have said, you know what, Pastor, when I get my life together, I'm going to come to church. Because they have this assumption that if they walk through the doors, what's going to happen? The roof will cave in. Did you ever think of that as a scheme of the evil one? I always tell them, don't worry, if I know our congregation, it's not going to happen. It's the truth. I know me, it's not going to happen. But what about all the good stuff? Have you thought about that lately? The scripture says, regardless, in Him we move and have our being. In Him we have life and breath. We have senses and enjoyment. I mean, the things that we don't even take for granted. How many of you have had some great Christmas food this season so far? How many of you enjoyed a cookie or two or a piece of pie or three or four? How many of you are going to get, you're going to undo your belt when you get away from the table this afternoon, right? Do you realize how awesome and special that is? I was thinking about this the other day. I came to the door, and our dogs, you come and you greet them, and they say hi. And the little one, he used to be called Bandit. I now call him Cinder because he's just a cinder block of size. And he runs up to the counter and slams onto that counter, and you give him this little tiny treat. And to be honest with you, I've tried dog treats before. They don't taste really good. It hasn't been lately. It was in my 20s and 30s when I did that stuff. But do you realize that every single day dogs eat the same stuff and they're just as happy? Have you ever thought in all seriousness what a gracious and glorious God we have that would make us to taste and enjoy and celebrate? Do you realize that we have a God that has given us relationships and friendships? Do you realize that we have a God that offers us beauty? How many of you have noticed the sunsets and the sunrises this year? They have been amazing. Do you realize if God was an engineer, it would just be black and white? There would be no color because it's purposeless. Do you notice the details? Do you see even the wonder of vision? A couple of weeks ago, Pastor Jerry had his cataracts taken out and repaired and fixed, and he said he went into the fellowship hall and he flicked on the light and he said it was unbelievably bright. But we of a culture has said that it's God who does all the bad stuff. These angels come before these group of undeplorable people and says, "Peace on earth, on whom God's favor rests, people like you and I." Literally, we can celebrate today that we have a God that does tremendously good stuff. Even if you don't know who he is, he does good stuff. The Word of God says he lets it rain on the righteous and the unrighteous. But peace is extended. Remember the scriptures? Remember what it says? While we were what? Friends and allies and confidants of the king? No, it says, while we were still enemies. Think a few moments. I mean, for most of us, we don't ever believe we've been there. We don't think that we've ever not responded to God. And even I was talking to a person a number of weeks ago that the idea that you go to hell because of sin, not at all. You go to hell because you reject Christ. You're an enemy of his. You refuse to submit and surrender. You will refuse to give him awe and authority and grace. But while we were still enemies, God made a way. He not only makes a way, but he recognizes that from the foundations of the earth, he understood what sending his son would do. He would have to give up his life in order to redeem a people such as us. Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace to men whom his favor rests on us. Scripture says that God withholds no good thing to those who follow after him. Have you ever had some good things come for no reason at all? Even if you don't know who God is, it says that all the good things that we experience are a gift from him day in and day out. A Savior has come. A Savior has come. Not God at a distance. Not God that you're chasing after and seeking out. And I think that's one of the greatest terms for religion. Religion is when mankind decides there's something missing and we need to find a God or a deity or something that will bring hope and peace and salvation and strength and redemption. And so we go about our way trying to find all the right stuff. We do the right things. We think the right thoughts. And maybe at the end of time, it'll all work out together. That's what religion says. Jesus says a very different thing. Jesus says, "I'm going to send my Savior to come dwell with you, and he's going to live a perfect life, and he's going to sacrifice himself, and on that cross, your sin is going to be nailed to him. And he's going to die, but he's going to rise up, and then there's going to be eternal life at stake." The Savior has come, and so the shepherds go. I love that scene. They don't think about it. They don't ponder it. They discuss it, but they actually do something with it. They go and find exactly what they had said had happened would be done. They find it to be true. And one of the things I want to challenge you with is that they come back changed people. And one of the amazing things, they're still shepherds. They still have those jobs. They still have that employment. They're still in those real circumstances in everyday lives, but they're changed and transformed because they come back praising God. They come back telling of the Messiah. They come back sharing their faith with every single person they come in contact with. Risky business. Oh my goodness, think about that. They were transformed, for they praised God for all the things that they had heard and seen. And it was just like the angel said, their salvation was there. And today we've gathered for much the same thing. We've gathered to honor our Savior and Lord. We've come to revel in the good news. We've come to encourage and to celebrate just like the shepherds did. For we have all been told the truth, and it has all been given over to us. Do you ever think about that on Christmas morning? Glory to God in the highest, and peace on earth to all men whom His favor rests. So I think there's three things that I'd challenge you to look at this morning. Maybe a little bit differently than most of the time, because I think sometimes the gospel that we preach is so small. The gospel that we preach is sort of like, you know, how many of you have ever been to a wedding ceremony? Y'all been here, you've seen, you know, the bride comes down there and they come up here and who gives this woman to be married to this man, yada, yada, yada. The dad says, I do. There's the bride kiss. They weep for a little bit. They move forward. They come up these steps. I look at them and charge them that this is what they're called to do. They say some vows and it is wonderful. Then they do the unity candle because that's the cool thing now. Or they do the sand thing or they do something symbolic of their union coming together. And then they turn around and what happens? They leave. They go to the reception. The interesting thing nowadays is it's changed a lot because it used to be that if you got invited to a wedding, you had to do both. Nowadays, you can just show up at the reception. I think that's wrong. But anyway, how many of you would think that's a marriage? Or would some of you say that's just the beginning of the journey? It's easy to have a ceremony. You may not think of it if you're the parents. But I find most couples spend a whole lot more time planning that 15 to 20 to 45 minutes than they do the rest of their lives. I think that's what we do with salvation. We tell people, come and Christ will forgive your sins. And that's sort of it. That's what it's all about. And just hear me now, because you're going to think I said something differently. I want you to understand that part of salvation is that we have been offered forgiveness. Our sins have been covered. In fact, if you want to go through it theologically, it says that when you ask forgiveness for a sin and you bring it before the Lord, it's as if it never occurred. Literally, Christ throws it away, never to bring it back again. He chooses not to ever remember it. He's not like your spouse or your friends who bring it up in the midst of a heated battle. That's not the way God works. Our sin has been covered through the blood of Christ. He is our Savior and our Lord. The cross paid the price of all that, but do you realize that that is just such a small offering of salvation? See, one of the things that took place for those shepherds is they recognized they had a Savior. They realized that they had been offered forgiveness. They understood what that looked like. Remember, this was the day and age of sacrifice, day in and day out. Thousands of sheep and goats and doves. They understood that. But I think they also understood something else. I think they began to understand that a God who would speak to a bunch of shepherds was offering them a restored life. And as I remember Adam and Eve, that relationship in the garden, That imagine just that openness that they could laugh and talk, and it says God would come down and walk with them in the cool of the day. Imagine those types of talks. He was there when Adam named all of the animals. He was there when he looked at Adam and said, Adam, it's not good for you to be alone. Let me give you a helpmate, someone to do life with, and the three of us will walk together. Isn't that an amazing scene? And yet Scripture says Adam and Eve choose to walk away from God. They begin to literally think, you know what, maybe God's holding out on the good stuff. Maybe God's not trustworthy. I'm not sure if I can live like this. Hopefully you remember the whole story. And Adam and Eve choose to disregard God's relationship. And the Scripture says from that moment on, man is spiritually dead. Literally, the image is you may be alive, but your spirit, the thing that causes you to be a person of significance and value, that is the thing. Your spiritual relationship is now frozen and on hold. Do you get what's going on here? Part of salvation, the salvation that Christ offers, is that he says, I will restore your life. It literally says those who are spiritually dead are now spiritually alive because of Christ. Because of Christ. See, I think some of us, even today, we walk around and we say it, but I'm not sure we believe it. We say things like, I'm a child of God. I don't think we believe that. I think if we entered God's house, we would probably stand in the lobby and wait for him to invite us into the living room and then maybe into the kitchen. And then maybe if we were really good, he'd let us sleep there. I think that's the most of us think about how it works, don't we? One of the cool things about having kids is when they come to your house, they walk right in. As I said last week, they go to your refrigerator, they eat your bacon, they never ask. They borrow stuff. In fact, Ethan came last week and borrowed a tool, and I wrote right on the side of it, mine. I mean, probably not the greatest thing to do as a dad. And I was joking because as a dad, my greatest joy is you can have whatever you want. It's yours. The Almighty God calls us sons and daughters. Joint heirs with Christ. We sit in the heavenly realms next to Christ. Do you grasp hold of that? Do you realize that every single day, and they don't sleep, so this probably isn't a good announcement or illustration, but every single day Jesus begins his prayers talking to the Father about you. Do you get that image? This is what salvation is. It's restoring our life. It's literally bringing us back to where we are called to be. We are no longer slaves or even servants or even orphans. We are friends and allies with the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. So it gives us purpose and significance and meaning. Do you realize that that's part of the gospel? Do you realize the shepherds probably went home and said, yeah, I'm a shepherd. I'm the lowliest of lowly, but my Savior I met today in Jerusalem. I'm his friend. Can you imagine that? But it even goes farther than that today. It's one of the reasons why I had the worship choir. I asked Dan if we could sing God Rest You Merry Gentlemen. And one of the things that struck me, I think that was written probably in the 14th or 15th century. Why do they have a greater understanding of who God is than we do? The third aspect of our salvation is that our enemy Satan has been defeated, and also he has been disarmed. I don't know if you know this, but if you read the gospel story of Christmas, there was a whole lot of mourning going on. You remember the story, the wise men go to Herod and say, Herod, where is this king? The king of the Jews. And Herod says, I don't know, but when you go and find him, come back and tell me and I'll worship him. And they listen to that. Did you hear what Herod's next response is? And it's funny because it's not in any of our manger scene stuff. Herod says, go to Bethlehem and kill every child that's under the age of two. The enemy was at work. Part of that Christmas story is tonight, just imagine an angel shows up to you and says, Raleigh and Kitty, your enemies are coming to kill your family. You need to get up and go to Egypt now. Do you realize the enemy is at work? And you and I have the opportunity and to begin to realize that our enemy has been defeated. If you want to get a really interesting view of Christmas, read the first couple of chapters of the book of Revelation, because it talks about the great dragon going to the woman who is giving birth, and his goal is to kill that child. Why is it that hundreds of years ago someone came up with, God rest ye merry gentlemen, let nothing to dismay, remember those words, to save us all from Satan's power, when we had gone astray? Do you recognize our salvation also sets us free from Satan's power? Some of you are sitting there thinking, I'm not sure I believe in this, okay? Let me challenge you with some thoughts just for a few moments. How many of you have ever had the accusations that come in the middle of the night? That you're unworthy, that you're unforgivable, that no one can love you, that you're always going to be a mess, that there's no hope, you might as well give up now. How many of you have ever struggled with bondages and addictions, and you just, it's a click away on that computer, but you just don't seem to be able to stop? How many of you have ever lived with guilt and shame that hinders and harms and has for years and years and years? It's a new year. We're going to be doing, resolutions, right? It's going to be different this year. I'm not going to go that direction. Do you realize you have an enemy that says, you want to bet? But he's been defeated. He's been broken. You have been offered so much with this salvation that it transforms us if you allow it to do that. The scripture said the people were walking in darkness. Do you get that? It was spiritual and physical and emotional. And when Christ comes, he brings them into the light. In fact, scripture says when you accept Christ as your Savior, one of the amazing things that takes place, even though you don't even feel it or understand it or even think about it, it says he takes you from the kingdom of darkness and he places you into the kingdom of light. To be his son and daughter, to do battle for the other team. Could you just for a few moments revel in that salvation that was offered? Certainly the forgiveness of sins. Don't doubt that for a moment, but recognize the restoration of life and hope. The idea that Satan has been defeated and you can have a relationship with the King of Kings that transforms and excites and challenges and grows you. In fact, my heart longs for you to believe as the shepherds did. And the shepherds responded by getting up and moving and choosing to respond. Can you do that this morning? In a few seconds, our worship team's going to come and they're going to gather us one more time before we head out. Will you leave here rejoicing? Will you leave here ready and willing to spread the good news of Jesus Christ? Will you be the people that God has designed you to be in your heart of hearts? Will you be the people that literally live out the favor of God in a dark and disturbing place? Let's pray. Father, we come before you and we thank you for this day. For you are our Savior, and unto us a child is born. And the government will be on his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, King of Kings, and Prince of Peace. Father, I ask in the name of Christ that you would bathe all who are here today with that truth, that you would make us more like shepherds than we've ever wanted to be before, that we would leave here today with rejoicing, for we know that we have salvation. For we know we have been transformed from the darkness into the light. For we know that we are called sons and daughters of God, joint heirs with the King. Would you impress upon us that truth? Give us your heart this morning. In Jesus' name, I ask these things. Amen.
Stand and worship together. Joy to the world, the Lord has come. Let earth receive her King.
Joy to the world, the Lord is come. Let earth receive her King. Let every heart prepare Him room. And heaven and nature see.
Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, may you leave here as the shepherds, rejoicing in your heart, as sons and daughters of the King. May you sense his presence in all that you do, and may this day be filled with joy and laughter and thanksgiving. And all of God's people said, Amen.
Good news of great joy. Here we go.
News of great joy for every woman, every man. This will be a sign of you, a baby born in Bethlehem.
Come and worship.
Come and worship. Do not be afraid.
Company of angels.
Company of angels. Glory in the highest, and on earth peace to men, those on whom His favor rests.
Come and worship.
Come and worship.
Do not be afraid.
Do not be afraid.
My soul.
My soul. Unto you a child is born, unto us a son is given. Let every heart prepare his throne, let every nation under him.
Come and worship.
Come and worship.
Do not be afraid. My soul, my soul,
my soul.
Great things,
my soul, my soul, my soul.
Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas. Merry, Merry Christmas.